Well, I haven't been missing Larry Weber, only because I've been thinking about him all week as the rain shows up on the radar and it moves our direction and then it goes north or it goes south or it splits at the lake and goes north and south, but it just isn't really landing here where we need it. Good morning there, Mr. Larry Weber.
Yeah.
And your warning of consequences if the rain patterns keep going this way.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, I have to feel sorry for if you thought about me all week. Oh my gosh,
it was actually rather cheerful.
That is a real downer. Anyway, you know, we also had a downer as far as our precipitation goes. What is kind of frustrating is seeing all this, like you say, seeing it on the radar, and hearing the forecast. We have had a couple of days where, including today, where the forecast was for rain likely. Yet, I'm not standing in rain right now. Now, it is very disappointing. Now, this is the 26th of June. 1 week from today, we will be in July. So if we look back at June, the temperature has been above normal, but not, you know, super above normal, a couple degrees. And we are forecasted to have a couple more hot days, so it's maybe going to get a little bit warmer. The statistic that is really a shocker is precipitation. According to the Weather Service, 0.47, that's less than one-half inch of rain for the entire month. And this is a month that is usually our wettest and usually over 4 inches of rain. Now, you combine this with what we had in May. May was also quite a bit drier than normal, less than 1 inch of a rain in a month that we usually get over 3 inches. And in the 2 months together, we only got about 20% of what we usually get. I think, yes, this is going to have an impact. This is the driest June since 1995. And a little bit of hope or perhaps change of pattern. The next 2 months in 1995, July and August, were both above normal in precipitation. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, this is a shocker. We are living on the snowpack that we had during the winter, and even though a lot of us didn't appreciate the snowpack, and it kept us a bit confined in some of our travels, that snowpack gave the moisture that is still permeating today, and so we'll see how long that lasts. I'm seeing signs where it's starting to run out. Probably the most obvious is on lawns. You drive around and take a look at lawns. A lot of lawns are turning brown, and they're right out in the open. Sometimes you have to look a little bit hard to see the brown, but many of them right out in the open. There is also in some of the plants, some of the roadside plants, I've especially noticed it with raspberries. Raspberries, quite a few are having leaves turning yellow. And that may be a sign the plant decides, I'm just not going to bother. There's not going to be enough moisture. We will see what that has to do. We have passed the summer solstice, and we are slowly moving into the summer. Sunrise is 2 minutes later than what it was last week, but sunsets also continue to be later. The birds are responding to this change, and yes, there is less bird song going on right now. During my walk this morning, I heard some birds singing, but not as much as what I would have heard a couple of weeks ago. That's not unusual. What's going on is that they defend a territory where their family is, where the families are growing up. I've been watching a few nests that have had fledged youngs, including one Phoebe nest that had fledged youngs this week. And yes, once that's over, they don't need to sing anymore, so we don't hear the much songs. There is a couple exceptions to that. Most noticeably are the vireos that keep on singing. Yellow throats, warblers will keep on singing. Song sparrows keep on singing. Red-winged blackbird, boy, the song sparrow and the red-winged blackbird have been amazing. They started to sing back in late March already, and they are still singing. Other things of note, speaking of singing, we have the summer frogs out there, the mink frog and the green frogs, that are singing on a daily basis, and they don't wait till evening. I've been hearing them in the daytime. You go to a lake and hear a kind of noise. That is the green frog. The mink frog makes a kind of knock-knock kind of noise, and they're both about the same size, and they breed in these bigger bodies of water, and they'll continue to call through for at least another month. But July, when we get into it, July is the month of butterflies. And yes, every walk I take, even early morning walks, I will see a variety of butterflies. It's not unusual to see about a dozen kinds. I would suggest going out and just walking in some area where there is flowers in bloom. It doesn't have to be out in a field where there are lots of flowers. You could see it right along the roadside or perhaps in somebody's yard, and you'll see a variety of butterflies. We tend to think of butterflies as always being colorful, and some of the more notable ones, tiger swallowtail and monarch, are just that. They're very colorful. But there are those that are not. And this week, during my walks, I came across three of them that were brown, but they are still butterflies. And yes, they are worth noting as well. This is also a good time to see moths. Now, most of those fly at night, but notice I said most. There are day-flying moths as well, and lots of dragonflies. But maybe the insect that really steals our attention at this time are the fireflies. And yes, every night, somewhere around 10 o'clock, they are out there and flying. They are taking a similar type of flight. They don't really disperse that far. They stay in the same area. So they take a similar kind of flight almost every night, where the male is flying overhead trying to get the attention of the female, which is down below. They do not eat in this adult stage, and so they're not looking for food. They also taste horrible, and even though they turn a light on and show everybody where they are, there are not many critters that come out and eat them. We are getting other changes going on in the world of the shrubs along the side of the road. The wild roses are spectacular right now. And where I live, we also have beautiful blackberries in bloom, thimbleberries in bloom, and raspberries in bloom. We are also seeing a change of the wildflowers. This is interesting. There's a group of wildflowers that I always list as July flowers. Well, they started to bloom this week. The big, tall cow parsnip, they may be up to about 10 feet tall. The white flower on top, some people call them Queen Anne's lace, but they're bigger than the Queen Anne's lace. Then there is black-eyed Susan. You know, the daisies were just abundant. They still are. There's still a lot of daisies around, but the daisies tend to get replaced by the black-eyed Susans, and I saw the first one of those in bloom yesterday. I saw an ox-eyed type of sunflower in bloom a couple days ago. And then yesterday I also saw the first milkweed in bloom. So, yes, things are happening. I'm looking for the thistles and the fireweeds and the evening primrose to soon be in bloom. And, yes, of course, the showy lady slippers. This is showy lady slipper time. And, yeah, they are in bloom. If you know of the place where there are showy lady slippers, it is worth getting out and taking a look. And like I said, they may be impacted by the dry. I can't see how they would not be impacted by the dry. But what I have seen so far, yes, they are in bloom. And it won't be too long. We'll start seeing goldenrods out in the water. White water lilies and yellow water lilies are both in bloom. And then along the shore, there are irises. There are types of loosestrife that are in bloom. And, Lisa, the first berry of the berry season has started this week. Last week, Saturday, I found the first ripe wild strawberry, and I didn't just look at it. A couple of days later, I found ripe fly honeysuckle, bright red berries, and then this morning on my walk, I found the red berries of red elderberry. Now, the downside of what's going on right now is that there's almost none fungi. You know, here we get into July. June never has a lot of mushrooms, but as we get into July, it starts up. But right now, with the dryness, there is almost none. So cross your fingers, Lisa. Let's hope that this pattern will change. You know, there are times we enjoy setting records for weather, but dryness in June is not a record to be proud of.
So, Larry, I'm curious about you and the strawberries. Now, obviously, one wild strawberry, there's nothing to do with one wild strawberry except celebrate it by eating it.
Oh, no. I got down and I photographed it, and then I left it.
And you did? What's the matter with you? I was just wondering when you have a lot of wild, you know, the thing with wild strawberries that I discovered when I was a kid and I had access to them regularly is that they're so itty bitty bitty. It takes like a gazillion to make anything. out of them, but I just wondered if you had like a favorite recipe that you put wild strawberries
in. Put in fingers and then put in mouth. That's the best recipe, okay? And they may be small, but they make up for it with taste.
Oh, boy, do they ever. Well, we will share that recipe on our webpage, Larry. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay, take care and hope for rain.
Larry Weber this morning. Who knew that he was a culinary genius along with everything else? He's our regular host for Backyard Almanac every Friday on 103.3 KUMD.